Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our King and our Savior, dear fellow redeemed. In our gospel reading for today from Matthew, we read Matthew's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We're going to read the verses that immediately follow that text. And while Matthew, in his account, doesn't make it clear, when we read from the Gospel of Mark, it makes it clear that the events that we're about to read actually took place the day after Palm Sunday. But they definitely refer back to some of the events of Palm Sunday. So keep that in mind as we read this text from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17, events that took place on Monday of Holy Week. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the experts of the law saw the wonders he performed and heard the children calling out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. They said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" "Yes," Jesus told them. "Have you never read? From the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A good number of years ago, when I was still a young pastor, I don't get to hear that very often anymore. No one calls me young pastor anymore. Back then, when I was a young pastor in the Houston area, my family was gathered at my house for our family Christmas break. And during that vacation, we went out for a hike in the nearby forest. And during the hike, I think I was reaching for something in the woods or something, but I caught my finger on some thorns and I cut my finger. It wasn't a real bad cut, but I'm sure I said, "Ouch," and it started bleeding a little bit. I pulled back my hand, kind of in surprise. And my little niece, who was with us, she was only about 4 at the time, she asked me what happened. And when I told her, "Oh, I cut my finger," without hesitation, she quickly folded her hands and said with absolute certainty and conviction, "I will pray to Jesus that he helps you and heals your finger." At that point, I'd been a pastor for probably about almost the same amount of years as this little girl had been alive. And if you want to stack up the amount of Bible knowledge and religious instruction that I had compared to my little 4-year-old niece, well, it wasn't even close. And yet, when I hurt my finger, who was the first one to think about praying to Jesus for healing? I honestly hadn't even thought of that. It hadn't even crossed my mind until she said it. Ironic, isn't it? We've been defining irony and reminding ourselves that irony is an outcome that is the opposite of what you might expect. We wouldn't expect a little child to teach a preacher of God's word a lesson about such a basic matter of faith, and yet that's exactly what happened. I still remember that event to this day, and that was probably going on 16, 17 years ago. My niece was a good example of what Jesus means when he says that we should have absolute trust in him, faith in him like a little child. Entering the kingdom of God like a little child, he says in Luke chapter 18. In fact, incidents like this one have happened not just in my life, but in the lives of many pastors, many teachers, many parents, and grandparents. It even happened in the incident we are looking at in our sermon text for this Palm Sunday. So today we'll be considering the irony in the question that Jesus' enemies asked him. Do you hear what these children are saying? Well, what were these children saying? Our text says they were calling out in the temple the very thing that they had heard the crowds crying out the day before on Palm Sunday as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. No doubt the same words that many of those same children were crying out as they maybe themselves were waving palm branches and welcoming Jesus by laying down their cloaks. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna is a word that means save now, we pray. That's literally what it means. But it came to be used as a word of praise, much like we use that word today. And it was especially a word that was a welcoming cry for the promised Savior. It's a word that we often associate with Palm Sunday. In fact, I dare you to try and count how many times we read, sing, or say the word Hosanna today. Probably won't be able to count how many times we say it or sing it. And that title, Son of David, was a name for the promised Messiah, the one who was coming to set God's people free. Free from their sins, free from death, free from hell itself. The Holy Spirit had obviously moved the hearts of these children to shout their declarations of faith to Jesus and their praises to Him. Wonderful, miraculous words of praise, even from little children. That is not ironic. We expect God to work through His Word to change the hearts from the youngest of His lambs, the youngest of His children, to the very oldest. The irony in our text lay in the words of unbelief from the enemies of Jesus. Words from men who definitely should have known better. And so we read from our account, verses 15 through 16, where Matthew writes, "But when the chief priests and the experts in the law saw the wonders that he, Jesus, performed, and heard the children calling out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. They said to him, 'Do you hear what they are saying?'" Notice what Matthew writes there. He says that these men saw the wonders that Jesus had performed. They saw it. They saw it for themselves. And what were the wonders that Jesus had performed? Well, maybe we look back a day earlier to Palm Sunday. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, being hailed as the King and the Savior by people while He's riding a little donkey. Again, think of a grown man riding a little donkey into the city and being hailed as the Savior and the King. I think that would qualify as a wonder. And think of the events that happened earlier that very day on that Monday of Holy Week. Jesus driving out all those who were selling and buying in the temple with the authority of the Son of God, because these people were turning God's temple, a house of prayer, into a den of robbers. I'd say that would qualify as a wonder. But look at what verse 14 says. It's a verse that we almost just skip right over as we read through this account of Palm Sunday and the day that followed. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't skip over those words of verse 14, because it says, "The blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them." That would definitely qualify as a wonder. And the fact that Jesus was, again, miraculously healing people right there in the temple should have made the chief priests and the experts in the law join in wonder with the children and shout their very own hosannas to the Son of David. These men, these chief priests, these experts in the law, they were, as they proclaimed themselves to be, the experts. They spent all their days reading the Bible. However, when these things happened, just like God had promised in the Old Testament that they had read many, many times for themselves, when the Savior finally came, they didn't recognize Him. They rejected Him. They were angry. The word indignant is used there in Matthew's text. They were indignant that these children and the crowds that were gathered there in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday were calling Jesus the Messiah. Children knew their Savior, while these educated theologians did not. How ironic, and how sad. Sadly, this is often still the case today. Some of the most intelligent, well-educated people, even those who claim to be Bible scholars, those who claim to be religious experts, don't really know who Jesus is and don't believe that he's the Savior, sent to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life with him through his suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. They scoff at simple, childlike faith in Jesus, and they reject it. They say, that's foolish. That's simple-minded. That's a crutch for people who are too weak to think for themselves or too weak to save themselves. People who need to believe in something to get through their life. Well, who are we going to listen to? The so-called experts or to Jesus? Whose example would you like to follow from our text? The experts or the children? Do you hear what these children are saying? I pray that we do. It's kind of funny that the enemies of Jesus actually imagined that Jesus would be embarrassed enough by these words of the children to silence them, tell them to stop. But these men failed to understand who Jesus really was. They didn't understand or believe what he had really come to do. And so Jesus replies to them. He says, yes, he did hear what the children were saying, and he accepts their praise. And then he quotes from the Old Testament. He says, have you never read, which they obviously had, they knew their Old Testament very well, from the lips of little children and nursing babies, you, speaking of God there, you have prepared praise. He did hear what the children were saying, and he approved of it. He accepted their praises. This is exactly what Jesus and God the Father wanted to happen. Jesus there is quoting from Psalm 8, verse 2. And most of the Jewish people of that day, including these experts and these chief priests, would have known and recognized that Psalm 8 is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, the Savior. And so when Jesus quotes it, it sent his enemies sputtering and fuming. This psalm is all about how the Son of God would leave his throne in heaven, his throne of glory, and visit his people, visit us here on this earth. And in that psalm, it taught that God's people, or God treasured the praises of children, because it came from their faith in that coming Savior that he would send. As you might know, earlier in his ministry, Jesus taught the people that only those who had faith like a little child would see the kingdom of heaven. And now here he's reminding them through the words of this psalm that they knew, they should have remembered, that this faith of a child brings forth praises from their heart to God. Faith like a child, praises from the heart of a child. Children take God at his word. Think of the example of my little niece. She just, oh, you're hurt. We pray to Jesus, he will heal you. She believed it. When parents, when Sunday school teachers, when Christian day school teachers and pastors teach children the words of God and teach them things like God hears and answers all of our prayers and we should go to him whenever we need help, children take those words and believe them. They accept them for what they say. They believe God and take him at his word. In doing so, they teach a lesson to each one of us about faith and trust in Jesus. So we who are maybe just a few years removed from being children, we who are adults or veteran adults, where do we get faith like little children? Well, there's only one place we get it. The same place that children get it, the gospel. The gospel comes to us in his word and in the sacraments, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper. The gospel is the message that our Savior came to die and rise for us, that we are forgiven in God's sight. From that gospel comes first a change in our hearts when God gives us that gift, that free gift of faith. Then every time we hear that gospel message, God renews and strengthens, builds on that faith. And through that gospel comes a change in our lives. And God, through the gospel, calls forth from our hearts of faith praise to Him. We praise God when we trust Him. We praise God when we turn to Him in times of need and ask Him to help us, even when it's just as small as a little cut on our finger. We praise God when we lift up our voice and sing to our Savior who has loved us, changed us, and made us His very own. We praise God when we serve Him with our lives. So let's do that. Let's praise Him in every way. Let's praise Him because we are His. The beauty of this lesson for today is that Jesus reminds us that He Himself is the source of our praise. He is the object of our praise as well. He ordains praise from His children, even from adults. Do you hear what these children are saying? Yes. Let's join them in their hosannas and our songs of praise. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.